I want to thank Brother Frank Perry. He sent his guardian angel last night, shortly, I don't know how he did it, but shortly after I mentioned that I was listening to Brother Bernard Fell, my spiritual father, and I would like to have one of those tapes. And he sent his guardian angel, and when I got home last night, there was a CD on my table with the message from Brother Bernard Fell. So, we certainly appreciate that. Frank is looking at me, don't know anything about it. That's how his guardian angel works, I guess. But thank you. We've been sharing with you on the building of a healthy church. And we mentioned to you that a healthy church is a dynamic church. We ministered on the theme or the subtopic, a healthy church is a powerful church. We also mentioned the fact that a healthy church is a developing church, a progressive church. Not a perfect church, but a progressive church. A healthy church is a giving church. I didn't mention, but rightly so, a healthy church is an evangelistic church. I was sitting, I'm not speaking on that this morning. I'm sure Brother Linstead, as he shared with us yesterday morning, will be challenging hearts in relation to reaching out. But you know, some of the major theological works on eschatology, sounds like a mouthful, but teachings on the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ make reference to some of our founding fathers of the Brethren movement, like John Nelson Darby and William Kelly and some of these persons who articulated the truth of the coming of the Lord. And what that did and what it's supposed to do, what I believe it did to the Thessalonian Christians, it created in them the urgency of reaching out with the gospel. Because you cannot be cognizant of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ without knowing an urgency to reach people, as Brother Ross was mentioning. Because you know we believe in the imminent return of Christ, which means He could come in any moment, even while I'm preaching. You know, I often wish that the Lord would come while I'm preaching. Sometimes, as you know, getting old now, and I'm not as excited in the pulpit as I used to be. And, but, you know, I said I would like the Lord to come when I'm preaching. So when I make one of them gestures, I keep going. But that could happen. But what knowledge of the coming of the Lord does, it creates an excitement and an urgency to get the word of God out. And this is why, you see, this is why the early movement of the brethren fanned out into the islands and into the uttermost parts of the earth with the gospel. Because they saw the urgency. An urgency that was motivated by the fact of the coming of the Lord. That's one of our distinctives, by the way. The fact of evangelism. I confess that we are not as evangelistic as we need to be. But thank God it's not dead. It's not dead amongst us. There is still the interest in preaching the gospel. That's why I like Spanish well. Because there is that excitement here about preaching the gospel. And brethren, let me encourage you. I got a feeling. I got a deep sense in my soul that something's going to happen here. Some break is going to come. And God is going to move again as He's moved in this island number of times in the past. I want to read to you this morning, continuing our general theme, building a healthy church, from 1 Peter chapter 1. Rather, 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses. There is another passage, but time, I don't think, would permit me to read it. We might be referring to it. That will be 1 John chapter 4. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, by which are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness or brotherly love, and to brotherly kindness or brotherly love, love. Now that's very interesting, that verse. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye should neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure the Lord would bless to us the public reading of His precious word. A healthy church is a loving church. A healthy church is a loving church. One evening, just before the great Broadway musical star Mary Martin was to go on stage in South Pacific, that's the movie, a note was handed to her. It was from Oscar Hammerstein, who at that moment was on his deathbed. The short note simply said, "Dear Mary, a bell's not a bell till you ring it. A song's not a song till you sing it. Love in your heart is not put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away." After her performance that night, many people rushed backstage crying, "Mary, what happened to you tonight out there? We never saw anything like that performance before." Blinking back the tears, Mary then read them the note from Hammerstein. Then she said, "Tonight, I gave my heart away." A healthy church is a loving church. James Russell Lowell said, "They who love are but one step from heaven." Let me say it again. They who love are but one step from heaven. Cedric Agar said, love never asks how much must I do, but how much can I do? Peter's interest in this entire book, as we have in the latter part of verse 8 that we read, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he is saying in verse 8 of the passage we read. They make, rather verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's following verse 7, naturally. And add to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ has a threefold focus. Number one, there is the inward focus, building up one's spiritual faith, striving for excellence as an individual goal. That's what he's saying. He says, add to your faith. And all of these other things, it's really adding into your faith, building up your faith. And all of these things have to do with the building up of our faith. And so it's an inward focus, striving for excellence as an individual goal, increasing one's own knowledge, controlling the passions and desires of oneself, bearing up under trials with a positive attitude. But then there is the upward focus, not only the inward focus, but the upward focus, commitment to godliness, a Godward attitude, which does what is well-pleasing to God. An upward focus. And then there is the outward focus, the relationship and action we have toward each other. This is what is being mentioned in verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Consider then the meaning of the words as we have them in verse 7. Now in verse 7, of course, we have the two words that's normally used for love mentioned in that one verse. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness, or brotherly love. And of course, to brotherly love, or rather to brotherly kindness, love. The first brotherly kindness or love is phileo. And latter one, love, is agape. Now, when we think of the first word, that is phileo, the word from which we get the term Philadelphia, well, that's a compound word, really, here in this text, brotherly kindness. It's phileo, one of the words, and adelphos, the other word, and the both are brought together. One is love, and one is brother. And so hence, brotherly love, or brotherly kindness. And so, Peter is saying, you must add to your faith, or to godliness, or to faith, brotherly love. And it's used quite a bit in the New Testament. It describes the love of Christians, or the love Christians cherish for each other. A healthy church is a loving church, a church that loves and is interested in each other. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. It describes the love Christians cherish for each other. Christians were charged to display it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Let brotherly love, help me out now, continue, because I know though we slept all night and up early this morning, some of you might still be, you know, drifting. So you help me out, so that will help to keep you awake. Christians were to increase in this love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. We never arrive in loving each other. There is always room for increase. And we must never sit back on our laurels and say, well, I do love. We have to go the extra mile all the time. And this is what Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Christians were purified for this purpose. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Christians want to show it by preferring one another. This is a challenging one, huh? Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. We live in a selfish world, don't we? All my mother's children, you know, don't know this little saying, eh? I love myself the best. And when I get my stomach filled, I don't care about the rest. This is the kind of world in which we live, but unfortunately, we see it seeping into the people of God, into the church. But the Bible continues, and see, you have the emphasis you are having in our world today is that of introspection, of thinking of yourself, thinking of your own virtues, thinking of your own abilities. And this is what the psychologist is saying when he has you on that bench or that whatever it is he puts you on to talk to you. He tries to get you to look into yourself and to think well of yourself. Now, that's not bad. That's not bad, my friends, but that's not the biblical focus. The biblical focus is other people. Amen. Amen. The Baptist would say there's a need for an amen somewhere in there. And so, but we are to prefer one another. And then there is the other word, agape. Add to brotherly kindness, love. Now, agape, we hear a lot about agape, that word today. Matter of fact, we make the distinction between phileo and agape. I have my own thoughts concerning that. We tend to think that agape is stronger than phileo, but I'm not going to argue with anyone about that. But I believe there is a passage where it says that God loves the Son, and I believe the word is phileo. Well, now you judge yourself as to the strength of the both words, but they both of them have their own individual emphasis. And agape then is love which seeks the highest good of others. Remember now, these two words are used in this verse, verse 7. Love which seeks the highest good of others, regardless of whether they are Christian or not. It seeks the highest good for the other person. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. My gracious.
Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. When I read that verse, I realize that love is just, it is not just an emotion. It is not just an emotion. If it was just an emotion, you could not love your enemies and those who despitefully use you. Love is a commitment. When I do premarital counseling, I say to those young folk whose eyes are so glary and, you know, and all the butterflies in their stomachs and all the rest of it, you know what this love brings, huh? I say to them, the time might come when you don't feel those butterflies. And every time you see your spouse, whose pimples are not going to form over your body. Like Mrs. Graham said in response to a question, have you ever thought of getting divorced? She said, no, you know, but I've thought of murder sometime. That's Mrs. Graham in relation to Billy Graham. Huh? But because love is not only an emotion, but a commitment, you love. You love. And so, it seeks the highest good for others. It includes, note, it includes Peter's list of graces. Or rather concludes Peter's list of graces. Now very quickly, it is exalted above faith and hope. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. It heads the list of the fruit of the Spirit. This agape now. The fruit of the Spirit is love. A healthy church is a loving church. It is to be adorned above all the graces mentioned by Paul. Colossians chapter 3 verse 14 says, and above all these things, put on agape. Put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, of perfectness. It abounds above the grace, above all the graces mentioned by Paul. It can be said that agape love does not love only if it is loved in return. This is why we say it's a commitment rather than an emotion. It is an all-embracing love. It is not an uncontrolled reaction of the heart, but a concentrated exercise of the will. It is a caring love, which becomes involved in the needs of others. It's a caring love, and this is the kind of love the church is to be practicing, to be true of. The fact that we are to care for each other. Note also with me, not only the fact of the meanings, but note how this love is manifested. How this love is manifested. Firstly, it is seen in the divine example. God the Father, Romans 5:8. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his agape even while we were yet sinners. We do not normally love people who are unlovely, but God loved us. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 and 7 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses or dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And so, the manifestation of this love as a seen in the divine example, that of God, that of the Son. For God so loved, rather, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. You know, it's interesting, John's Gospel chapter 3 verse 16 speaks of love, that great love. And 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. Also, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For greater love hath no man than this, but a man lay down his life for his friend. Now this is, of course, the love of Christ, God's Son, his love towards us. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples on that occasion. We are to demonstrate our love towards God by keeping his commandments. John chapter 14 verse 15 and verses 15 and 20. If you love me, now that's the word there, you know, agape. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him by keeping his commandments, also by loving the brethren. By loving the brethren. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is not telling the truth. When I was growing up as a child, we were not permitted to use the word lie or liar. So I find it sometimes difficult even to use it today. Train up a child, help me out. And the way it should go, and when he gets older, he won't depart. That's an example there. But let me tell you, the Bible says he's a liar. He's not telling the truth. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. A healthy church is a loving church. We love each other. We care for each other. We bear each other's burdens. We are concerned for what's happening to each other. Now, I know the Bahamian people are very secretive. For those of you who don't know that, that's Bahamian people. And we don't like to share those innermost thoughts. Matter of fact, you just say that in your business. But let me say to you, beloved, as people of God, there are some things you must share in order to get a reciprocation from others, in order to encourage and to help and to sympathize, because if they do not know, they can't help. But I know how it is. We don't do that as much as we should. I'm guilty. But we ought to love each other. A healthy church is a loving church. But that clock is not a loving clock. You gotta do something about that, Brother Lindsay. You gotta do something about that. Yeah, maybe you gotta transplant some internal organs in that clock. We are to manifest it in our own life. We are to walk in love. We are to put on love. We are like a garment, you know. We are to put it on. But you know the illustrations that Paul has in mind as he's talking, right? But of course we know that love comes from the inside. But I think the emphasis is a manifestation. You see, when you put on a dress, when you put on a suit, people see that. And I think that's the emphasis. People see when you love, you know, and they see when you don't love. Oh, yes, they do. And so Paul is saying, we are to put on love. We are to serve with love. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know how you think of the cooks and all those folk out there that takes with thee. If they are not serving with love, they are great hypocrites. Because they're really, I mean, if you're going to judge from what you see, that's the point I want to make now. Don't tell them I call them hypocrites. I call them hypocrites. I'm simply saying, because of what we see, you can't help but saying, my, what love in service. Tremendous display of love for God, first of all. And for people, for saints. Yes, beloved, putting on love so it could be displayed above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. We are to serve with love, as I mentioned. We are to be knit together in love. Colossians chapter 2 verse 2, we are to be knit together that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Oh, beloved, that's wonderful. Knit together. We are to, as a church, a healthy church is our heart. Come on now, you couldn't forget that point. A healthy church is a loving church, knit together. And when it speaks of being knit together, it's an interrelationship that's not easily severed. It's like the body. And you sever any part of the body, it hurts, it's difficult, it's painful. And when we sever that love, it's painful, it's difficult, it creates havoc. And so we are knit together in love. I like that. Also, we are to care for each other by assisting them in times of need, by praying for them. Samuel said, moreover, ask for me. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Praying for each other. One of the things I appreciate here in our church here in Spain as well. And among the believers in Spain, it's not just the brethren church, but I have been privileged under God to speak at other churches, the People's Church. And you see listed in the bulletin, people's names. And my name appears there sometimes, believe it or not, for prayer. Praying for each other, that's important. As believers, bearing one another's burdens, for in so doing, we fulfill the law of Christ. We are to care for each other by praying for them, by consideration of the weaker brother. I was near Wayne and his wife, we were talking last night. Brother Wayne is one of the leaders in the church there in Carbon Bay, and his wife works with the youth. And we were talking about children getting saved and so forth and so on. And I make this point very often in my preaching. I said, you know, we have to be very, very careful in making a child who gets saved. I'm talking about a building after they get saved, but we have to be careful in trying to make them like us, who were saved for 100 years and still struggling. But we normally expect perfection in those children. So I was saying, as we were talking last night, I was saying we have to understand that children are children, and don't make them grow up physically before time. If their child or young girl wants a doll baby, that does not mean she's a lesser Christian because she has a doll baby. Or a young man, boy, shooting marbles, because we said, well, now you can't shoot marbles no more because you are a Christian, please. I hope that's not true here. You must not have them to grow up faster than they let them enjoy their childhood. But at the same time, you're teaching them the things that they need to be doing and considering as young Christians. That's important. Very important. And so, that came under my point, considering the weaker brother. How did that come in there? Anyway, the persons who are not as strong as you are as a believer, we ought to consider the weaker brother. And some of us are weaker. Sometimes it's difficult because they are up and they down. And you help them up, before you turn around, they're down again. And you help them up, before you say Jack Rabbit, they're down again. And you try to prop them up somehow, you know. Man, can't you stay up? But you see, they're not like you. Understand what I'm saying? They're not strong like you, and so we have to nurture them. We have to continue to help them. Jesus said, if I may use this to illustrate what I'm saying, when Peter says, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Until seven times seven? Jesus said, no, man, you just gotta go. Until 70 times 7. In other words, if he falls down and he gets up, he needs it, you gotta try to help him up, beloved. Helping the weaker brother by considering the weaker brother, by speaking evil, by not speaking evil of each other. Now I close. And I could hear some of you saying, amen. I close. But not before I mention the revelation of this love. And I'm just going to mention that. The revelation of this love. Remember now, a healthy church is a loving church. A healthy church is a loving church. The revelation of this love then is that we are born of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. This is a manifestation of our new relationship with God, our new life. Born of God and knoweth God. That we are the disciples of Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. That we know God, 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That of unity of the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring is a very strong word and means putting out some effort, making every effort, whatever that takes, my friends, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And sometimes you have to use every ounce of your spiritual strength. But he says endeavor to do it. Because you see, a healthy church, is a loving church. And by this shall all men know. Now I want to believe that when the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples and saying to them about this love, and by this shall all men know, I believe he's stepping outside of the bounds of the Christian community. I believe he's stepping outside of the followers of Jesus Christ. And he's saying not only those inside, but those outside of the parameters of the Christian community, outside they shall know. They shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. A healthy church is a loving church. That's it. Father, we bless you for your love, first of all, this incomparable love. This immeasurable love. We just bless you and thank you that we have been the objects of this love. Help us day by day to revel in that love. But we have been exhorted, Father, to show that love, to manifest that love. I pray then, or we pray then, that as a church, that as a company of God's people, as individual believers, we might love one another. We ask your blessings upon each one. The word minister, however feeble, and we pray, Lord, that you would use it to the glory of yourself. Father, bless the food, the fellowship, that's the as we ask your pardon.